Here's what no one's thinking about, though. This is the angle no one's thinking about, okay? You ready for the optimism, Moses? This goes deep, mate. So here's what no one's thinking about. So for Hiko, everyone looks at this like, this is like, you know, this is the last chance saloon for Hiko. If this doesn't work out, I mean, let's face it, he has to go to a lesser team. Unless he has some insane performance spec, he's not going to be back at this level again. This is probably his last chance to be on a good NA team. And it wasn't working out for him as the in-game leader in Liquid. But here's the thing. We don't know yet. We'll find out from Stanislaw if Liquid itself is just dysfunctional beyond lacking the in-game leader. You know, like if they get Stanislaw and they don't work out, now some of the players might have problems. Who knows? Maybe Elise even is a very good fragger, but maybe he doesn't work in the team. Who knows? We can't know yet. But we know there's pieces on Optic. Yeah, they lack Stanislaw, but there's no saying that Hiko can't walk in there, have all these pieces, very versatile pieces, and have some success. Actually, yeah. No, he's not going to be some godlike in-game leader, but. In a weird way, if you had to choose to be an in-game leader of one of the two teams, if you're Hiko, maybe you'd rather choose the team that already has star players, activated, good players, versatile players, players that have a lot of confidence. This might not be a bad little stretch to come in, and you have nothing to lose, literally.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that is going pretty deep. That's finding, you know, that's finding a level of optimism and silver lining, Duncan, I didn't think you were capable of. That's very well done of
it's
you.
It's finding a level of opticism.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, how many times have you asked Dan to kill himself? Like, come on.
Yeah, well, we all kill ourselves eventually. It's his sports. So this as well. Optic also has never done anything at a major. That core group has never had any success whatsoever at a major. This is all you need to know, right? There's an interview, it came out today, on Slingshot Esports, where Rush talks about his favourite major moment, which is when Olafmeister did that boost in Fnatic. Now, can you remember all the major moments we had at the major Simple, where it was like... Moses, rather, where it was like Simple was like, yeah, well, my favorite moment was my double no scope when I dropped down and killed it. And then Olafmeister's like, my favorite moment was actually the boost that I did in Fnatic, even though people hated me, you know.
And Taz was like, almost ended my career.
Taz was like, my favorite moment was when I came out and I actually asked the fans to cheer for Fnatic and I got the respect, you know. And then they're like, and what was your favorite moment, Rush? It's like, I liked it when Olafmeister did that boost in Fnatic. That's like the fucking Benita versus Renegades highlight clip of major moments. That's like, what the fuck is that? Like, what was the best moment ever at a major? Well, I remember I was sat in the crowd and I was obviously had my Nip jersey on and I was cheering. I said, Fnatic, like, what the fuck is this? Like, oh, yeah, because there was no major weird. Moment for you, was there, Rush? Come on, bro. Like, come on. Come on.
Oh,
unreal,
God.
Isn't it?
I didn't equate that earlier, but it took a harder way of learning it that people evolve, right? The average player now is way better than any fraud or anyone was at those days. There's just no comparison. And for these older players that are trying to get back, they do not get their head in through it. I look at Kogu in Brazil, which was one of the beasts. I know Thorin highly regards him as one of the best of all time. Exactly. And the amount of hardship he's facing in-game is surreal, right? He hasn't been able to make the progress that everyone expected of him.
Yeah.
And to find that dedication is even harder when you've already seen it all. Like I said, it's not going to be reaching the final of the championship. It's going to be amazing for that day, but it's not going to change your whole life dedication and passion, right, about it if you've already been through it. And that's something that the newer kids you see now, they like the Yugi from Heroic, all these new kids that are popping up out of nowhere, they have this passion, right? For you to stay, like, when you first fall in love with this game, the passion you have, the dedication, it seems worse than cocaine. You're addicted to it. You can see so nothing else except Counter-Strike. Just Counter-Strike, okay. For the love of God, let's do it. And I love this, right? And that's how you see these kids coming out of nowhere in the way I look at it. And it's so hard for someone else, right? They have to understand that their roles change. If you are these experienced players, and I think we beat those that well, is we're not going to try to be at flashes, then we're going to try to be more experienced and just do everything on the past experiences that we have and know what's right or wrong. We're not going to try to outskill, out-aim everybody.
Yeah, the only drug I actually would like to endorse is Danish Counter-Strike, everyone, okay? So stay safe, stay off hard street drugs, so stay on clean, tactical Counter-Strike from people from Northern Europe. That's all I'm going to recommend to the fans of this show.
Being a shitty, being an in-game leader is players at NA don't respect it as much as they should. But it's more so like, if you're an in-game leader and you do all this studying and you come up with this tactic and you want to try it out in a scrim and you call it, everyone knows the play and they do it, and one motherfucker does something wrong in this tactic, And then you go to him afterwards, after watching the demo, you're like, hey, you can't do this way. Like, this isn't the play you're supposed to make based on this tactic. And he's just like, well, yeah, but, you know, if I hit that shot, if I just get that, you know, I should have had that kill.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, please. Like, this is, you're not even supposed to be here. This shouldn't even be happening. And that doesn't click in more often than not.
Right, I've got a system then. I think I've figured it out, Moses. Here's my approach, okay? I'm going to get all the teams that don't have an in-game leader at the moment, and I'm going to put an in-game leader in their team. So even if they don't want me to, I'm going to put like Daps and Adren and Semphis. I'm going to put them all on the top teams, right? And all I'm going to do is they do the same thing they do now. They call the strat, they prepare the strat, but they just have shock collars on all the players. And as soon as that player goes outside of a red area that he's allowed to go in on the map, they get shocked immediately. And Ivor can give me a month, okay, Moses, I promise. I'll have some of these guys on board. I mean, I'll have some of them on board. Unfortunately, some players will just be electrocuted to death, but... Whatever happens, okay, Moses, I'm going to get some good players out of this.
You can't fix them all, Duncan. You can't.
That's the problem. Some of them, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Nafly or something would just get electrocuted to death. Like, so there'd be one of them just wouldn't learn from it, you know? It would be a tragic story.
Here's the thing about Vitality, I think, is if they're able to survive this phase and move on to the next stage of the major, I think that's going to be phenomenal. Because, like you said, you have Alex, who's got to lead this team, and he's really inexperienced. You have Zywoo, who this is a massive stage for him, as well as he's performed in the big stages that we've seen him at so far. But these struggles early on might actually help them get some experience and settle down if they can overcome, what, losses to Simon? Simon? Can we say Simon?
I think it should be Simon, personally. Come on.
Yeah, Simon. Okay.
Not least because, in case anyone was unaware, we have Trace, Stunner, Seranthus on these desks. For the love of God, please don't call this team Simon. He would already have gone that route anyway, even if it was called Simon. So give me a fucking break. Don't actually call the team Seaman and then allow him to repeatedly make jokes of like, someone's choking on. Yeah, we get it. Yeah, Tris, we get this one, mate. Like, I love your style generally, but I'm getting this one. Please, let's just drop this. Let's drop the Seaman. Get over it.
Somebody needs to talk to them about branding. But yeah, okay. So Simon beat Vitality, and obviously Vitality lost to Dream Eaters as well. So if they survive.
I mean, my joke, obviously, is I hope they make a super org of Dream Eaters and Seaman.
Yeah, I know.
You can imagine what the name would be. Yeah, you know. Yeah, there we go.
I was like, why is it right there just staring me in the face? Thank you, Doug.
I know. Right, this is going to be episode 73 of Counterpoints. 1973, of course, the year that The Exorcist was released, a movie in which someone screamed, "The sow is mine," their head spun 360 degrees, and they vomited all over the screen. But enough about me watching Flusher steal yet another championship in Counter-Strike in 2019. I thought this shit was done with. Like, listen, boys, I don't ask for much. Like, JW was a star, Crimson was a star. How is Flusher doing this? This reminds me of last year, right? When Exist got kicked off NIP, and I was like, finally, you know, I'm not a hater or anything, but, you know, it was his time to go. And then he goes and stands in for FaZe, wins the IEM tournament, and then people are like, of course, Exist maintains his record as the most trophies won in Counter-Strike history. I'm like, what is it? What is this? What, him? It's not even like Forrest or something. Why does he get to have that record? Like, this is some bullshit. So anyway, the point is, another classic movie released in that year.
Anti-cheat still doesn't work.
I can't believe Sean's coming straight out with that. I know, exactly. Especially in light of certain anecdotes that have been recorded to history, Sean, on video of certain people going up to other certain Swedish people in hotels and saying, like, shaking their hands like, flush your cheeks, fuck y'all. By the way, P.S., fuck y'all, I'm Sean. Wasn't that your team? It wasn't you, to be fair. It wasn't you. Someone else, but yeah. That was the second within your team.
It might have happened.
Oh, I kind of agree, because that's the bizarre thing. It's like, even though it's a totally different Na'Vi, like, that's the part you've never in your brain ever had to actually think about, isn't it? What if Simple and Electronic were in a team where a whole bunch of people could frag? It's like, fucking hell, this is a new world. This looks amazing.
Well, I feel like we all gave up on that dream, because I remember when Electronic and Simple and Flamey were like the big three stars with Zeus in the team, that was always the conversation. That we were just like, all right, well, this is never going to happen. Like, they can't all three of them. Like, this team cannot have three people playing well all at the same time. And apparently now they can. So that's pretty sweet.
Who was on the team last time Guardian was on the team? It was Simple, Flamey, Guardian, Edward, and
Seized.
Seized was the fifth. Okay, Seized was in-game leading.
So it was a pretty different core overall.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, really? No Electronic, etc.
Ew, that is a
what? Jason, don't do that.
I like Caesar a lot. I just mean as a lineup, as a five. Oh,
look back now, it sounds terrible. Yeah, in the context of what we know since then, it sounds really bad, doesn't it? Believe it or not, at the time we were looking at it going, why doesn't this lineup work? Because at the time they were all big good names, weren't they? That's the problem.
That was when they got rid of Zeus and Val was like, oh, by the way, coaches can't talk in freeze time. They just got completely...
Literally fucked. Something like the day after as well, by the way. It was something mental like right after like that. It's like, that was almost some like Gabe Newell level shit. Like, proceed to fuck Na'Vi. Okay, thank you very much.
Also, let's remove Astralis's permaban and add in a map that they could be good at. Okay.
That's nice. So it's hard. I mean, it was hard for us to even get like 8 people on the same page. So for players to try and organize, I don't know how many teams... are like even signed on to CSPPA, but I mean, even if you just do the top 10 teams in the world, like that's going to be pretty much impossible. That's, you know, 60 people that you kind of have to get on the same page. That's so hard. That's so difficult.
By the way, when you said that, like that some of the talent cared and some didn't, like that was also where you realized, because one of the weird things about the talent world, we mentioned this on the last episode, is it'll always seem like the people who are complaining are the old farts. Like, oh, why are they complaining? But it's because we've just done it so long that the annoying things get really annoying. Yeah. Whereas the problem is the guy who's just going to his first like big ESL1 Cologne, it's still sick for that guy. Like he'd go for free, you know, it's just fucking amazing to that guy. So like the person I saw this with was Yanko, mate. Because what Yanko, he won't mind me saying this, it's the sort of shit he'd say on a show anyway. He used to, when he first started, remember, he's just this little kid coming out of fucking Serbia who's never top pro, and now he's getting to do all the events. He's getting paid like thousands a day. Like, he's getting all this mad. So he's living the dream. He used to say back then, like, bro, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'll just sit in the economy for like 10 hours, like, if they pay me that much. All you need to know is, like, 2 years later, he was already the, like, jaded, like, guy looking at being in business, like, 40 years, like, give me the premium economy or I go to war. It's like, in like 2 years, all it took, you burnt to a crisp.
I'll never forget, because you guys, you and Richard always talk about Cluj-Napoca as like the dream hack where like nobody could get any water and you were about to tear down the entire thing. I remember being at that event and listening to you guys complain, because at the time we had to go from the desk after our segment to walk all the way across the arena and up like 4 flights of stairs to get to the cafeteria because the elevator we weren't allowed to use. And I remember thinking at the time, like, I don't know why these guys are bitching. I'm fine with running across the arena and climbing 4 flights of stairs to get a quick bite to eat. I'm casting Counter-Strike. Like, fuck this shit. It's so easy. And literally like a year later, I was like, this is stupid. This is getting dumb. Complete turnaround eventually. It always happens. It always happens a couple of years in.
But I won't ever tell like private anecdotes if I know the person would be cool with it. Like they wouldn't give a fuck, you know, or even like it's just something they didn't tell you like secretly or whatever. It just wasn't publicly known. But for this one, I'm not sure that this person might get mad. So I'll keep their identity secret. That's not that relevant. But basically, when I went to Inferno Online, I'm going to say in like 2011 or something, to go to one of the like, it was actually when they were doing those like Arbalet Cup tournaments, I think still. I went to one of those. Maybe it was 2010. I can't remember. One of them, and it was in Inferno Online, and I went there, and like JW's been there, so he's gonna know this. When you go into Inferno Online, it's weird because you walk through this little like corridor that's got like a fucking kebab place like just on the side of it, like on the way into the place, because obviously kebab and gaming's like fucking goes hand in hand, doesn't it? So when I was going into the place, right, I did like an interview with like a, like I'll just say like an old 1.6 player. And because, you know, like half of them live in Stockholm. So I was doing an interview with this guy. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, mate, I'm dying for a kebab. Like, where's like a really good, like, doner here? Like, what's like the good one, like the legit one with the good sauce? And he goes like, oh, ignore this place here. Like, that one's shit. Like, never eat there. Like, nobody, like, we all think that's a joke. No one would ever eat there. And he goes, but, you know, like, go up the road. I think it's like, you know, like 100 meters down. And then you go to your right or something. There's like a pretty good one there. Like, go there. Like, get this particular meal. Or like, number 3 or whatever the fuck, you know, it's like my favorite. So I went out and I had the kebab, right? But then afterwards, because I'd left my bag in like the office at like Fisker's office in fucking Inferno Online, because he used to actually work there. It's like a different person who's an old school 1.6 player, people don't know. I was coming back to get my bag. And as I'm walking back, right, I look into that kebab place, because in Swedish kebab places, you can obviously sit down at a table. And the same 1.6 player is sat there eating a massive plate of doner kebab, right? And so obviously I'm like doing a double take, like, and in that moment, right, I now have to start thinking to myself, Moses, right, first of all, does he really just not want to eat kebab with me that much? That's just where we're at. Like, he's just lying now. Or is he so mad he actually thinks that's total shit, but then he just like doesn't even care about himself. So he's like, fuck it. Just going to make myself it. Like the whole thing, like it was like, it's like I was in a weird dream or something. Like, what the fuck is going on? So There we go. So basically, even back then, JW pros generally try to avoid me, if possible. Now, you know you never catch me Dolo online because I'm rolling deep and we dem boys. Who am I talking about? The Skrilluminati. So this video and the content on my channel is kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Jason. You know who my second in command is. Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for some of my content? Would you like to ask me a question in an AMA? Do you want to take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic? Maybe you want to see who upcoming guests are in my interviews and on my talk shows. Well, all of these perks and more are available to you if you put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. How? Via the Patreon link in the description box below.